Following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, November 4th, 2019.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And I'm so thrilled to be here. It's hard to believe that last week at this time here in Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, where we were on mandatory evacuation notice. I can't even pronounce the word evacuation. I mean, I start shaking when I think about it. Fortunately, Ken and I did not have to leave our homes, but we were on alert. It was like a 24-hour alert, not knowing what was going to happen. And my heart goes out to all the folks out there who lost property, who lost, all kinds of things. And I just feel so sad for them. But the bottom line is, you're still alive. We're still here. Sonoma's strong. And we're all coming through this. But the most interesting thing about the whole event is that this is a fire that might have been able to be prevented. And I hope that our elected officials are going to start looking at that. So I'm really concerned, to be really honest with you. And I want to do a big shout out for radio station KBBF 89.1 FM for what they did with the Hispanic, all the community, the whole community with the fires. It was just amazing. We had the food bank here giving out food, doing all kinds of great things for people who are usually not really cared about, let's put it that way. So we really, really helped the immigrant community and also the Hispanic community and also the English-speaking community. You know, I want to say something right here. People ask me, they say, what is it that you're on a bilingual station? Well, to me, bilingual means diversity. And I have the opportunity to work with and to befriend and get to know many, many different people of different races, different religions, and different thoughts. And it's really been a rewarding experience for me. So a big shout out for this wonderful station. I mean, later on in the show, when we take our first musical break, I'm going to play this song by Becky Hobbs called Angels Among Us. And I want you to know that KBBF 89.1 is one station that has many, many angels behind him. So it's really amazing. Well, here we are. I'm glad we're fire free. Most of the fires are under containment. People are back in their homes. Some people still don't have lights, but the majority of people do have lights and gas. And man, it was an experience. Well, I have three special guests, and one of the guests is going to be me. Joining me in the studio is Leslie Graves, who is a member of the steering committee for the Sonoma County 2020 Suffrage Project and also coordinator for the Women's March, which will be happening in January. Leslie has a unique role this morning as she's going to interview me, and I'm really looking forward to that. Let me explain a little bit. You know, what happened was I got about four emails, and the folks were saying, you know, Elaine, we've been listening to you for years, but we don't know anything about you. So I thought, wow, what a great idea. So I thought of the first thing that came into my mind was, I'm going to get Leslie in here and have her do an interview with me. And so that's what we're going to do. So that's going to be the second part of the show. Also joining me in the studio is one of my favorite people in the whole world, Shekinah Black, who's the coordinator of the Peace and Justice Center, who's going to let us know about their annual Peace Awards, which is going to be happening this Saturday, November 9th, at the Redwood Cafe. Well, I have some kind of sad news. I mean, very sad to me. Very, very, very shocking. I want to make a special acknowledgement and thank you to Cynthia Lung. She was the director of the public programs and tours for the Sonoma County Museum, where she was the museum program director. She gave tours and helped set up the exhibit for over a decade, and she passed away. And I just want to send my condolences out to her and to her family, and to let them know that she really made an impact in the community. Whenever I write for the Sonoma County Gazette, and lots of times I would include little things that are happening at the museum. I would go down there. Cynthia would give me a VIP tour. She'd tell me every little thing about the exhibit. And by the time I got back to my computer to write the story, I was so well versed in that subject, I could not believe it. So rest in peace, dear Cynthia Lung. You made an impact on the community, and I want you to know that you will definitely be missed, and I know I will miss you terribly. Another community treasure that we lost that was really another shock to me. I mean, these are young women. I mean, I'm 6 months from 80. Cynthia was only 66, and I think Evelyn Cheatham was only around 67. So another community treasure, Evelyn Cheatham, passed away in her sleep last Thursday. And I knew her from many, many different things. I knew her from I think it's What's Your Weight, which was the place that she had for the young people that were learning how to do culinary. She was also president of IOLERO, which was the Independent Law Enforcement Review panel, and she did a really pretty good job considering all the challenges were there. Evelyn Cheatham, who's gone, and she will definitely be missed. I mean, definitely. I mean, she was a soulful woman of 66 with a warm smile. Cheatham, just last year, she closed the Worth the Wait. And I remember when she let me know that she closed it, she never mentioned that she was having this struggle. And so blessings to Evelyn Cheatham and to her family. I know that this must be a terrible shock to all of you, but, you know, folks, the fire, listening to these two women that I personally knew and interacted with, seeing them making their transition at such an early age, as far as I'm concerned, 66 and 67, I mean, to me, that's young. We have to sit back and we have to recognize that life is one day at a time, and we need to appreciate it. We need to appreciate life. We need to appreciate our earth. You know, when you announce things like this about somebody passing away, you know the pain in the heart of a person, of the family. And we have enough pain. We don't need war. We don't need all these other things that add to the condition of just being here on this planet. So again, my condolences go out to both of the families, and I'm really heartbroken about these two people making a transition. And when there's going to be memorial services, I will definitely announce it over the air and also let you know on the website. Well, now let's have a little bit of fun, a little bit of history here. And if Leslie wants to join in a little bit with me, because she is the historian here, a little bit of history. California ratified the 19th Amendment on November 1st. That was 3 days ago, 100 years ago. And in 1919, California became the sixth state in the Union to ratify the right to vote for women. Well, by August of 1920, 36 states, including California, ratified the 19th Amendment, ensuring that the right to vote could not be denied based on sex. Did I get that right?
Well, you know what? The only part that I would correct is a part that I led you astray on, actually. Oh. It is California was the 18th state to ratify, and I had misspoken at an event where I know that you kept really good notes. I had said it was the sixth state. It was the sixth state to allow women to vote, and I hate that word allow, but we voted in women the right to vote in October 1910, and so in 1911, and that was the sixth state to vote in women's right to vote. But ratifying, we were the 18th state to ratify. So I'm sorry for the confusion. I led you astray on that one.
Well, no, it's okay. We're all confused anyway, so what difference does it make anyway? I want to do a real shout out, and I want to recognize something. I want to do a shout out for the League of Women Voters, who had an amazing event. When did that? Let's see. It happened about on Saturday, October 26th. It was just at the height of when the fire was starting. And I want to do a shout out to Deborah McKay, who's the president. When she got up, realized, I couldn't believe the room was filled and all these nervous. I mean, we were all so nervous. And Deborah McKay just gets up there and says, look, guys, here we are. Let's take a deep breath. Let's calm down and let's enjoy the event, which we did. And so a special shout out to the League of Women Voters for bringing on the presentation. Sonoma County Women helped win the vote. And it was a panel presentation with Gay LeBaron, our Santa Rosa historian, Molly McGregor, the executive director and co-founder of the National Women's History Alliance, Ann Guillotine, Historical Society of Santa Rosa, Mary Dugin, West County Historical Society, and Peg Rogers, who was a newly appointed member of the Sonoma County Commission on the Status of Women. They did a great job presenting all this stuff. We had, I'm president of NOW. We had the NOW calendars there, and I just want to do a real shout out. And another thing, and I'm going to ask Leslie to cover this just a little bit also. November 1st, downtown was 100 roses giving out to celebrate California. Who was the group that brought those roses?
So that group was actually the Sonoma County 2020 Women's Suffrage Project. We had 100 roses to give out in honor of California ratifying the 19th Amendment 100 years ago. And we were joined right there outside of the state building on D Street at noon on Friday, November 1st, just this past Friday, by a couple of the members, Becky and Bill Montgomery from the Santa Rosa Rural Cemetery Preservation Committee. So they dressed up in their authentic wear. I was actually dressed up in 2019, very modern suffrage wear, and we were able to pass out 100 roses to the delight of a lot of folks. And I have to say, the public knows a lot about suffrage. This is a smart town right here. So it was a delight to hand those out.
Well, thanks, and thanks for coordinating. I'm really, it was really amazing. I completely spaced out about it, then I drove by and you guys had already gone, and thank you so much, Leslie. That was just, what a wonderful gesture. And you know something, as women, we have tons and tons to celebrate. Well, we're going to do something a little bit different because, like I said, if the next part two of the program, Leslie's going to be interviewing me. But right now, I want to bring on Shekinah Black, one of my favorite people here, who's the coordinator of the Peace and Justice Center here in Santa Rosa. And she's going to tell us a little bit about give us a little background of the Peace and Justice Center, Shekinah.
Well, thanks for having me back, Elaine. I appreciate it.
Oh, I love having you on. You know that.
Likewise, I love being on and being with you. Thank you. And Leslie, thanks for being here today.
Well, don't you think Leslie's got that oomph,
right?
She just wakes me up. I'm just so happy. Go ahead.
So the Peace and Justice Center of Sonoma County is celebrating 35 years this year. So that's really great for a nonprofit organization to be sustained that long, strictly by donors. You know, it's not government funded at all. So I want to make sure people understand that. And that's why I believe you have me here today, because we do have our event on Saturday, which is our major fundraiser of the year. Really, really important to come out and support that event. So Peace and Justice Center, in just a quick nutshell, we are a resource center. We help, sometimes we'll put on a protest or a march, and sometimes we're support for that, and we have a meeting space, we have a lending library. If somebody wants to host an event there, they can certainly contact me. And it has to be along the lines of our mission statement, which you can find on our website, which is pjcsoco.org. That's pjcsoco.org.
Before you go on in talking about a little bit about the Peace and Justice celebration, I was very fortunate. I happened to stop by the center the other day to ask Shekinah to come on and talk about this. And I end up meeting this woman who is putting on a thing called Despair and Hope. It's going to be happening tomorrow night at November 5th from 6:30 p.m. at this Peace and Justice Center at 467 Sebastopol Avenue. And it's going to be photographer Grace Chung Schulman, and a delightful woman. I met her. I mean, I couldn't believe how well she set up all that equipment. I was so impressed. I couldn't have done that. And she went to Palestine Palestine and Israel, and talked to people, took pictures, interviewed them, and she's going to be showing a film on everything that she did. And from what I saw, the preview, it looks very, very interesting. In fact, I'm hoping that Ken and I can make it tomorrow. Well, we have another, maybe a little conflict, but this might be something that worthwhile to go to. So that's going to be tomorrow night, November 5th at 6:30 at the Peace and Justice Center at 467 Sebastopol Avenue in Santa Rosa. And folks, this is another example of your community in action. It's not that they're taking a side, they're bringing you information so you can make an intelligent decision. So go ahead, continue about the event, our celebration. I had to put that in there.
Thank you, Elaine. That's so well said. You're always so awesome. So we on Saturday, November 9th, starting at 7 o'clock, it is the annual Peacemaker Award and fundraiser event. So that is for the Peace and Justice Center of Sonoma County. And we have awardees, and we also have music by Afro Funk Experience, a really great band that's coming up from the East Bay. There is a woman lead singer. So that's, you know, in this day and age, a lot of industries are, you know, gender balanced. And I think the music industry is, has got a long way to go, baby. So come out and see Sandy House on lead vocals, and then wonderful men, musicians backing her. So that's really fun. Dancing Shoes recommended for that portion of it. And we also have a great silent auction, really, really nice events that is the events at Redwood Cafe in Cotati, which is 824 Old Redwood Highway. And so in the outdoor beer garden is where we're going to be having the silent auction.
I got to say something. The reason that I'm so excited about this, and the reason that I'm making sure that we have a special, special place, because our dear, dear president, Alicia Sanchez, brother, is finally Alfredo Sanchez, who is one who I consider a brother. I mean, he's my brother as far as I'm concerned, and he's being honored, and I am really excited about that. And also, another person that I'm really impressed with is Isaac. How do you pronounce
Schwager?
Yeah, he's the lawyer. He handled lots and lots of cases here in Sonoma County, and some of them has helped people on his own accord. So he rightfully so should be. Who are some of the other people you got? And the Petaluma Blacks. I have had Faith
Ross.
Faith Ross on, who's wonderful, and Gloria Robinson, mm-hmm. who started it. Actually, you know, Gloria, we have a special place in the Sonoma County 2020 Suffragette calendar for Gloria Robinson. You know, we honored her.
That's wonderful. Well, like you said, we do have all of those. So I think I'd just like to read their names and the award they got so people know. So there's five awardees. Peacemaker of the Year Award goes to Isaac Schwager. Russ and Mary Jorgensen Courage of Commitment Award goes to Alfredo Sanchez. The Unsung Hero Award goes to Bruce Allen Rhodes. And the Community Organization Award goes to Petaluma Blacks for Community Development. And the Youth Peacemaker Award is for Lucia Garra. And so we're so excited to have these people. And this year, we did open it up so that the community was able to nominate people. And
different.
Yes, it's really important for the Peace and Justice Center to be involving the whole community, since we are a community-based organization. So that was really exciting to meet with the board and tally up all the votes. And these are who the community voted for.
It's amazing. Well, Chiquina, and what is your role in all this? I mean, I know that you do a lot. What is your capacity here?
Well, I'm the center coordinator of the Peace and Justice Center, and have been for a little over 4 years. I'm honored to be there holding down the business end. There's a lot of business that goes to running any business, including a nonprofit. So I handle that, and there is a resource for people. You know, whatever phone call we might get, or somebody dropping in during our business hours. We're open Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. And like Elaine said, we're on Sebastopol Avenue, 467 Sebastopol Avenue, not Road, because I have had people show up at the road and call me and say, you're not here, but we are there on Sebastopol Avenue.
Well, Chiquina Black, I want to thank you so much once again for coming on Women's Spaces and for giving us all this good information, and wish you much success. Hopefully Ken and I will be able to make it. I know, because Alfredo is getting an award, it's very, 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 very special. If you're listening, Alfredo, we love you and we are really impressed. Well, we are going to take a musical break. And this, you know, I'll tell you, I love Becky Hobbs. I think she is one of the finest singers in the whole world. And also, maybe Shekinah can help me. What's the name of Danny Thomas's charity? The cancer.
Marlo Thomas is his daughter. Yeah. And what is it? I forget what it is. You say it.
The Children's Network, I believe.
No, not the. I can't remember. But anyway, this song, yeah. I'll have to get. I'll put it on my website. I left a little note at home. I feel a little embarrassed about it, but that's okay. But this is the theme song. Becky Hobbs wrote this song, and later on, Alabama took it on, and Alabama won one after award after another on this song, and then it was the Danny Thomas's Organization for Children with Cancer. It's a hospital, and Marlo Thomas is involved with it. It became their theme song, and I thought it was perfect to play it now, because when we start thinking about the fires, I think of my dear friend Susan Moore, the last fire, when she was running down her hill with her pajamas on fire, and then all of a sudden this truck came out of nowhere. It was like an angel. You know, it was like what angels really are miracles. It's a miracle that happens in your life that maybe takes place. So maybe it's a time to reflect when we have disasters like this, to look at some of the miracles. Look at how our neighbors came forward and helped us. Look how I was so impressed with Mark Essick, our sheriff, the way he handled himself on the radio, and the calmness that he gave the community a sense of, he made me feel safe the way he talked, like things were being taken care of. And that's an angel. That's a miracle of the first responders. You know, how lucky so many people could have lost their homes, and we didn't have half the amount of loss that we had in the last. And the Kincade Fire was the biggest fire in Sonoma County, and I think there was only one death by, I think somebody, a man who couldn't get oxygen. Something happened. I'm not sure. But, I mean, the way the county responded, there's lots of complaints, a lot of different ideas and information, but the bottom line is we got out of it. The fires are under containment. We're on the air. We couldn't be on the air last week. We couldn't get out of our neighborhood. And count your blessings and look around and see the miracles. And miracles are not just material things. They're just things when someone says hello to you when you're feeling bad. Or all of a sudden, the other day I was at the mall, and Ken was waiting in the car, and I needed a dollar, and so help me God, all I had was $5 bills. And here comes this young man, and he says, here, and he gives me a dollar. I mean, that's like kind of the angel, like the little miracles that happen. So let's go ahead and listen to this song. And when we come back, we're going to be changing gears here. Leslie Graves, and I want to give you a little background about Leslie, because she doesn't want me. Okay, she'll give her own background. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break now. And when we come back, I'm changing seats with Leslie, and she's going to be interviewing me. So let's go ahead and listen to Becky Hobbs singing Angels Among Us.
I was walking home from school on a cold winter day. Took a shortcut through the woods, and I lost my way. It was getting late, and I was scared and alone. Then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. So he was standing there, but I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayer. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love.
troubled times and had me down on my knees. There's always been someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger to lend a helping hand. A phone call from a friend just to say they understand. Now ain't it kind of funny, at the dark end of the road, someone lights the way with just a single ray of hope. Guide us with the light of love.
For everyone just joining in, you're listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I would like to remind our listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, members, and Women's Spaces. Welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I am Leslie Graves. And for this segment, I am honored to be your guest host. In the studio this morning, we have turned the tables on your beloved host of Women's Spaces, Elaine B. Holtz. And today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Elaine. Welcome, Elaine. What a treat I have to interview you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for doing this, Leslie. I'm really excited about it, you know.
Yeah, and we actually did change seats, folks. So if you're here in the studio, as is Shakinya Black from the Peace and Justice Center, she saw us actually get up and change our seats to make it all official-like. Well, Elaine, your listeners have been tuning in to you for years, and let's refresh their memories a bit by telling them a little bit about you before we get started on the interview. Elaine B. Holtz is a longtime activist and producer of Women's Spaces on Public Access TV Santa Rosa. President of the National Organization for Women in the Sonoma County chapter, she writes the Santa Rosa Snippets as part of a column for the Sonoma County Gazette. She holds an AA degree in journalism, public relations from Los Angeles City College, a BA in sociology from Sonoma State University, and a master's degree from San Francisco State University in education. She believes women need to be involved in the peace process, actively promoting and supporting the idea that all women and children are entitled to an environment that is safe, supports life, and is free of war as well as hunger. So, Elaine, getting to the questions here, I'm going to explore a little bit at first about your beliefs. I found that so interesting because that really does permeate everything that you do, that last statement that I made about you, especially this feeling that women and children need to be safe and free of war. Can you tell our listeners how you were once, believe it or not, folks, considered the conservative one amongst your peers at Los Angeles City College? And that moment in your journalism assignment that you had that changed your perception of war?
Well, to begin with, the reason I would describe myself as a conservative is that actually on my father's side, I'm a first-generation American. So when they came over to this country, you know, they kissed the cement. They kissed the ground because, like my grandmother used to say, I asked her, what's so great about America? She said, the police aren't knocking down your door and dragging you out. I mean, that certainly changed in 2019, but that was the feeling. So it was always rah-rah America, rah-rah the freedoms we had. So I was a late bloomer. I went back to school when I was 30 years old. I could barely read and write, and I had the blessing of having a teacher by the name of Mr. Linville, who said, you know, Elaine, you're a great writer, but you don't know anything about punctuation and your spelling's a little off. Why don't you become a journalism major? And that'll help you. And I says, really, a journalism major? I never thought. I mean, that never entered my mind. I mean, as far as I was concerned, I was just a dumb blonde that wasn't going to go anywhere. I mean, my whole life was falling apart at 30, and here I am back in school, and this man is telling me to become a journalism major. So I followed his advice, and I actually won several journalism awards, which was amazing. But what happened was, is I worked with a woman by the name of Rita Cash. She was about 5 feet tall, and she had rheumatoid arthritis, so she used to write with a pencil, like in, you know, with a pen, like in circles, you know, because her hands were so frozen. And I come in, and she comes in the office. She says, and I was the oldest. Remember, I went back to school at 30, so I was actually the oldest person in the class at that time. And this was 1973, and 1970. And so when I walked in, she says, look, I know you're conservative. I know you're not anti-war. She says, but I want you to go out and do this interview. And there's these 50, they call themselves, you know, veterans against the war. And they were paraplegics against the war. And I said, paraplegics against the war? I mean, we had all kinds of protests. And I went out and I interviewed them. And I interviewed all 50 of them. And when I walked out of there, I was totally anti-war. And the thing that I came out with more than anything is what each young man was a mother's son. Each young man's mother's son was going over to another country to kill another mother's son. And I thought, this is not acceptable. You know, I have friends who had little boys, and I would look at them and thinking, is this little boy going to be going, you know, what's going on? And I became anti-war. And then after that, I wrote this article because some of the students had gotten arrested and they blamed a communist conspiracy. And I wrote this article that I was tired of the communists getting all the credit. I wanted free thinking, intelligent students to get the credit. And I was questioned by the FBI and you name it, and I became totally anti-war. So that's how I kind of got into being an anti-war activist. And also at the time, I became the editor. I can't believe it. I'm telling this story. I actually became the editorial page manager from a teacher telling me that I couldn't write. I mean, I was a great writer, but my punctuation and my punctuation and my spelling needed improvement. To go on to be editorial. So, folks, nothing's impossible.
Nothing is impossible. Conservative to anti-war. So nothing is impossible. It gives me a lot of hope right there.
Was another piece, I think, too, because my father was a union man. And I think that played into it because he was always talking about injustice and, you know, all these different things. So I think that and also the idea of seeing these young boys. They were so young, and they will never walk again.
Right. Right. And the fact that you took that little encouragement from Mr. Linville and from Rita Cash around writing. And I know that you've written articles in various publications. You were in North Bay Journal. You were in the Sonoma County, obviously still, Sonoma County Gazette. You write the snippets. You've even published a book of poems, as well as just being on the air here for Women's Spaces on KBBF. So it really seems to me like there is this need of yours to communicate, and it's always a theme or a type of a motivation for you in your life. So Why do you think that is, beyond the Mr. Linville, beyond the Rita Cash? Because there's something inherent to you around that need to communicate. So what is that with you?
Well, I have to blame my Uncle Al. Let's put it that way. I have to blame my Uncle Al because I was an only child for only almost 5 years, number one. And number two, I was also my grandmother considered me the first grandchild, even though I was the second one. But the first one was from her son, and I was from her daughter. So as far as she was concerned, Elaine was the first grandchild. I mean, go figure. You know how they do. And so my Uncle Al, he was wonderful. We would play show, and we'd do all kinds of things. And so when the way I got attention was through communication. And the way I also got attention was they always said, oh, Elaine asked a lot of questions. So now let's go. Now I'm 5 years old, and I get into kindergarten with this attitude, right? And what do you think the teacher writes on my report card? Elaine should understand children should be seen and not heard. Well, I was an expressive child. I'm getting all this attention from. So it felt like from the minute I went into school, the minute I came into, had to interact with other people, there was always this need to be seen. And also, always for the underdog, like when we play volleyball or we play tetherball and someone got hurt. You know, I was always the one that stood up and then everybody would say, oh, she's such a loudmouth. You know, so all those things happen. And I think that's the way it was. Actually, if I had my life to live over again, if there's any young people out there listening that are troubled or because of the schools and because of what happens and the attitudes because if you're, you know, if you're outspoken, all of a sudden you get a reputation, so they make you feel bad. If I had my life to look over again, I'd say the hell with all of them and just become a journalism major, work on the book for the school, you know, become part of the community in the school and prepare yourself for the world rather than having to spend the rest of your life trying to overcome somebody writing on your report card, children should be seen and not heard.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mention that particular statement. I can remember being a young child and hearing that myself. And I think many, many folks, you know, 50 and over have probably heard that statement once or twice. But I also think that it's really interesting that you start to mention children, because another motivation that you talk about quite frequently is family and children, and especially building children's self-esteem, protecting them and providing for them. As I understand it, you even have a great-granddaughter that just turned 1 year old, which
little
I know is...
Little Satori.
That's right, the light of your life. I get this feeling that you desire to really protect children. I mean, even in that statement that you were just talking about, that you would give them that information. So, and this may come from when you were yourself a child. Is there... another type of a correlation there that you can talk about from when you were a child and you can share with your listeners?
No, I'd like to go beyond. I'd like to explain what I mean. Okay. If people go on the web and my website, Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com, there's a poem that I wrote called I Am Women, I Am All Women. So what I believe, this is my belief, as women, now I don't care what your religious belief is, but there is something that created us, whether it's a god or a wind or a rain or, you know, a seed, whatever. Something has brought us into this planet. And one of the jobs or one of the assignments that women have is to bring children, bring life into the world. We are charged with that. You're a mother. I'm a mother. Chiquina's a mother. I'm a grandmother and a great-grandmother now. You know, I believe, Chiquina, are you a grandmother?
Not yet.
Elaine. No, so I'm the oldest one in the room. Okay, so, you know, all this, and all of a sudden to have a great-granddaughter, I mean, it's just, and she's just the most precious little thing you've ever seen. So my belief is that it becomes women's responsibility, because if we believe in a creator, you know, if you believe you're a Christian, a Jew, an atheist, I don't care. If you believe in some sort of creation and the fact that women have been charged with creating life and bringing it forward, it becomes our responsibility to stand up and to make a world safer for the children. I was never more disgusted when I see women in the government voting to get rid of food stamps or voting against education for the children. I mean, they are violating what it means in my mind to be a woman. And so what I say by protecting the children, if we begin to understand that this is, we bring it, they don't ask to come here. You know, when I think of these little kids in war-torn, countries, they didn't ask to be born. And what right does any country have to go in and to bomb? And I think all women should be standing up and saying, enough is enough is enough is enough. We have to stop this. We have enough problems with climate change. We have enough problems with hunger, with homelessness. You know, we don't need these wars. We don't need all this killing. So that's what I mean about the protection. It's deeper than just protecting the children, but it's looking at the responsibility we have when we bring a child into the world. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart, especially in being a great grandmother. The one thing that I got to see is what I got to really observe with no attachment, how much energy goes into raising a child.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
It is amazing. It is. And thank you for all of that. And thank you for really driving that point home. It is a great segue as well, because we're going to be taking a musical break right now for our listeners. And the song we will be playing is, of course, I Am Woman, sung by Pink Martini. And when we return, I will continue my conversation with your regular host, Elaine B. Holtz.
I am woman, hear me roar in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend. 'Cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor, and no one's ever keep me down again. Oh, yes, I am wise, but it's wisdom born of pain. Yes, I paid the price, but look how much I've gained. If I have to, I can't do anything. I am strong, I am invincible, I am break me, 'cause it only serves to make me more determined to achieve my final goal. And I will come back even stronger, not a novice any longer, for you've deepened the conviction of
Welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. I am your guest host, Leslie Graves, and we are continuing our conversation with your regular host of Women's Spaces, Elaine B. Holtz. So, Elaine, reflecting on that song that we just heard, I Am Woman, and some of the lyrics, I like the part that goes, if I have to, I can do anything. I am strong. I am invincible. I am woman. It makes me think you really put a lot of emphasis on songs during your show, Women's Spaces. In fact, you're one of the only talk show hosts who play the entire song. Tell us about your connection to a song like this, or maybe what you regularly want your listeners to come away with when they listen to songs that you have chosen.
Well, every song has a message. I mean, that definitely, I Am Woman, I am, it really definitely has a message. You know, one of the things that the line I like is that we paid the price. You know, and we did pay the price, you know, staying home. And I mean, even during World War II, I mean, we went back to war, we went to work and actually produced all the planes and all the, I mean, all the things that they needed for the war. And then when the war's over, go back to the kitchen. I mean, it's like we feel like we've, you know, been under the bus. You know, I gotta tell you a story. I'll tell you a story. Story that's really good. When I was at women's at Sonoma State University, I was very involved with the Women's Studies Department, and we were able to teach classes. And at that time, we had a lot of they were called displaced homemakers, and they were all coming back to college. And God bless President Johnson; he made all these wonderful grants available. So you had all these women coming back to school, and they were all mothers, you know, and most of them single parents, you know, single women that, you know, and the majority of them, like myself, were shocked that they end up getting divorced and end up being single parents, and all of a sudden realizing you have to be educated in order to get out and make a decent wage. So I taught this class, Survival as a Mother, okay? And I'm 3 weeks into the class, and I'll be a son of a gun if I'm not picketed. You know, because there's a picket sign, you know, I'm being discriminating, you know, why don't I let men in? So I'm sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, you know, am I a man hater? Well, I'm not a man hater. I never have been, you know, and all this other stuff. And so finally I start thinking about it. And so I had all the women come into class, and I figured out how many hours there were in a day. And I broke it down to seconds. And then I showed how many hours a week that we would be spending in this class just with women. And I said, you mean to tell me you can't take 45 minutes twice a week out of all these minutes and hours and seconds you have, and you can't be by yourself without men? And that was the end of the conversation. So I think that's what's important to understand, that as women, we don't take time for ourselves. And can you repeat the question again?
So about the songs. And so is it, that leads me to believe that when you're choosing these songs, you're really providing a space maybe for women to take that moment for themselves.
I'm trying, exactly. And not only take that moment for themselves, but through music, we understand more. You know, through music, through the songs, you know, like to me, the greatest song that was ever written that explains anti-war is Bob Dylan's Masters of War. You got to listen to that whole song. You got to have a discussion about it. This song, I Am Women, I Am All Women, the poem I wrote is in relation to I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. What does Hear Me Roar mean? You know, when I think of Hear Me Roar and I listen to that song, I think of most women are afraid to speak out. You know, you listen to talk shows, it's all majority of men calling. You look at the letters to the editor, it's the majority of men that are writing the letters. So what that means, I am woman, I am strong, I'm invincible, it means stand up, means do something. And the song influenced a whole generation, myself included.
Yeah, it certainly did. And you talked about Sonoma State University right there, and I want to actually talk about that a little bit, because not only did you speak out and you taught this class that was Survival of the Mother, but then through your experience at Los Angeles City College and journalism and then moving on to Sonoma State University, you were chosen as the first woman student to speak at a Sonoma State University graduation. I believe the year was 1975. So how did that come about? Because that's a great learning experience for our listeners and the women that are out there and how they could speak out, make connections, and then really being in front of a crowd and having that moment to use their voice.
Well, first of all, I was shocked when I was even asked, and I had to compete. And it's really interesting when I look at KBBF and I look at my relationship with the Hispanic community. Mecha loved me because I knew of a woman by the name of Olga Rodriguez who had ran for president one time, and I brought her into Sonoma. I brought her Sonoma State. And so they just thought I was the cat's meow. So they supported me because the students had to vote on the speakers, and I was voted to be the one to represent women. And it was such an honor, and it was such a shock. It was an absolute shock. It really was. And what I did was, you know, when they first asked me, I didn't think I could do it. I really didn't, because I was not a public speaker, and I was scared to death. But I did it. I did it in front of 5,000 people, and it was an honor. But I have to go back a little bit, because I wasn't always like that. I was born cross-eyed, so I had a hard time looking people in the eye, and I definitely was never a public speaker until I went to Los Angeles City College. In order for me to graduate, I had to take public speaking. And a man that taught the public speaking class literally changed my life. So when I was up there in front of these 5,000 people, I really thought to myself, and here Carl Jensen, the man who started Project Censored, is walking me down the aisle complaining that this paper he entered into a contest for me didn't get anywhere because it had no bibliography, because I wrote about the lesbian mother. It was probably one of the first papers in the United States to even address lesbian women I had a good friend of mine, and I was afraid for her, and I wrote this paper. And there I was, up there in front of 5,000 people, and my mother's out there looking, oh, my God, is this the child that they said on her report card, children should be seen and not heard? And I gave the speech, and I got a very, very strong applause that I thought I was going to pass out. But it was an honor. You know, people ask me, you know, I say my middle name is impossible. Don't tell me, you know, Elaine Impossible. I tackle impossible things. It was impossible for me to go back to school, but yet I did it. You know, it was impossible for me the idea of getting a master's degree, I mean, that was so far removed from me. And when I was stood on that stage, graduated third in my class, I thought, wow. It can happen. You can change your life. You can become a better person as you evolve. But you have to make the commitment to yourself. You have to make the commitment to knowing that you can do it. That's why I do the Women's Spaces Pledge, you know, the pledge. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Well, because that is what gives you that oomph. You know, when all of a sudden you're filling out that paper, you want to go back to school, and you say, oh, my God, I'm so stupid. I barely graduated high school. When you go beyond that and say, no, that was high school. Now I'm going to try to encourage myself to do something, and then look to other people to give you encouragement. I mean, I had so many people in my corner, so many.
Well, I want to provide a little insight to our listeners here, because you actually take on challenges now, like just currently. This isn't just something that we're talking about, you know, years and years ago when you were younger. Here, you said earlier in our segment today that you're 6 months away from turning 80 years old in 2020. And you just recently took on a project of producing a calendar. I don't believe that you'd ever produced a calendar before and this one was for 2020 and was celebrating the centennial of the 19th Amendment, which is in 2020. And it was
all about women who have extraordinary accomplishments, much like yourself. And can you tell us a little bit about how that even came about, that you took on this whole new challenge and the response that you've been getting about this calendar as it's been made available?
Well, first of all, it wasn't me alone. I mean, I'm president of the National Organization for Women, and I do have an executive committee. I mean, there's only, you know, we have about 275 members, but we only have four people on the executive committee, and they're just a powerhouse of women. And so when I came to them with the idea, the first thing they said was it was impossible. And I said, no, my middle name's impossible. And through a series of events, and you know that song, Angels. Angels came forward, period. You know, I didn't know how I was going to produce it. You know, I knew we needed X amount of money. I didn't know how I was going to do the fundraising. And before you know it, Vesta Cope Stakes came forward with the money to do the first 200. And it was like magic. But it wasn't me alone. It was another woman by the name of Rebecca Dawn that helped me, who's also part of the team. When we did the calendar, I said, how are we going to do this? You know, and then I said, we need someone who knows how to do calendars. And she said, hey, I'm a graphic artist. I says, oh my God. So the next step was, I was really the money behind it. And I helped to get the people on the different sidebars. But it was a labor of love by the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County chapter. But I have to say, I was the whip. We can do it. We can do it. And we did. We got it. We started in August. We had an October 16th deadline, and we made it. Hey, folks, I'll tell you one thing. You write down your deadline 99% of the time, you're going to make it.
There you go. There you go. And if you have a lane with that whip, you're going to make it as well. So I really appreciate this, Elaine. We could probably spend another hour chatting and finding out more information about you. I have no doubt there are many layers to pull back and to discover more and more about your Women's Spaces host, Elaine B. Holtz. But folks, this is actually the end of our show for today.
I want to just say one last. I just want to compliment you, Leslie. This is the first time you've done this. You've been absolutely fabulous. You know, the questions. Folks, I had no idea what kind of questions. Everything is, trust me, was off the cuff. I didn't know what question. So I want to thank you for stepping in and for all that you're doing for 2020 and for Sonoma County. I mean, you're very visible with the Women's March coming up in January. So, hey, and then we have December 8th.
That's right. That's right. Well, many appreciations, Elaine, for creating women's spaces where you invite ordinary women to share their extraordinary stories, and for inviting me to do this interview with you, sharing some of your extraordinary stories throughout your life. And thank you, Shekinya Black of the Peace and Justice Center, who was with us earlier in the hour, for reminding us that their Peacemaker Award celebration and fundraiser will be this Saturday, November 9th, starting at 7 p.m. at the Redwood Cafe in Cotati, California. Find out more at pjcsoco.org. Thank you to all of you for tuning in.
Because a woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, November 4th, 2019.